O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? What you've started in faith, you're now trying to perfect in the flesh. Well, sometimes we do that same thing. We say, oh man, my sins are forgiven and I've been made new and now I've got to do the rest of my life on my own. In my own strength, I got to do it. Do it. Be a good Christian. And the beautiful thing is that says, and if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things, those all things that are becoming new are from God. So all the things in our life that are new are all from God. So not only does he save us, make us new, reconcile us to the Lord, but everything from then on out is also from the Lord. So that just means we got to just drink from his well, just lay back and allow him to be who he wants to be in us and through us. And so that's exciting. All things are new and all things are from God. So that means all things are possible too.
Lord, our desire is to see the open heavens, and we declare that we are ready. We are speaking that out, Lord God. And Lord God, we just claim Isaiah 61 over this place and Luke 4. Set the captives free, Lord God, and fled the nations, oh God. And without any distraction in this place, we command all distraction to leave, that we would in one accord sing this with everything in our heart. No matter what's coming against our lives, our personal lives, let's sing out together corporately. Oh God, we cry out for you. We cry out for your glory. Can we sing this again? With all eyes on the glory of God. And your face, oh God.
With glory.
Yes, Lord, that's our desire.
Let the
nations bow. We're hungry for you,
Lord. For he
is holy. Let's all sing to him. Yes,
Lord,
you're holy.
From every tribe and tongue, come now to worship.
Divine romance created, Lord God, for oneness with you. May this be a season in our life, Lord, where that becomes a greater reality. That's the desire of your heart. Just say yes. For the Lord loves to increase our hunger. He loves to increase us. He loves to increase us. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh Lord, that we would pull out of our mindsets and the programmatic thinking that we have that orders our world into what feels like a safe place. Lord, that we would be free of those bonds and those chains would come off. Lord, that we would desire you above all else. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because without you, we can do nothing. Thank you, Jesus. Just allow the presence of the Lord to touch your bodies wherever the depth of your pain or your suffering is or your emotional realm. The blood of Jesus is enough. And we call forth your blood today, Lord God. Just receive. Just receive. Just receive today. Yes, Lord. It's all about you, Lord. Yes, Lord. We can just, while we're receiving from the Lord, just look up on the screen and just see the hand of the Lord moving through other people. Lord, to hear your words. To hear what you're saying and responding to your heart, Lord. Lord, that every life that's seen here in these pictures will be so deeply touched by you, way beyond what we've seen, what we've experienced before, way beyond their wildest imaginations. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He drew. Can you come here? Thank you, Jesus. Just keep receiving. He's still here. Because Josh had no idea what the Lord had put on my heart, for me anyway, maybe from the Spirit of God, I'm sure. But the Lord wants to touch each one of us in a very profound way, I believe, as he's been building, which is always his nature. He's always building us higher and higher and higher and higher. We condition ourselves, I think, sometimes because we're human beings. We condition ourselves to get to a certain point, even in worshiping the Lord, just crying out to the Lord, and then not necessarily allowing ourselves to go as far as he wants to take us. We all do that at times, I think. And maybe it's something that God wants to speak into our lives. So for the last few weeks, he's been very, very specific in the direction that he's been taking us, and I've been so encouraged. Hopefully you have as well. And if you haven't been here, if you've missed the last three messages, really encourage you to listen to them from the beginning to the end, because I think you'll see some things that perhaps would be new, because that's how God works. But yesterday, I was on the phone quite a bit and communicating seriously with India North, and Africa, both Mozambique with Pastor Jose. The Lord told me to call yesterday. And while I was on the phone to another connection yesterday, he called me from Mozambique. And he left a message because I was on the phone, because the Lord told him to call me yesterday. So as we were smiling together about that, you know, it just brought me to tears. It reminds me that there is no distance at all in the Spirit. I think Christy said something like that this morning. It's like, Lord, what are you doing? What are you saying right now so that we can grow together as a family? What is it that you want to impart to us that more of your heart? Are we too busy to hear? Or can we hear what you're saying and doing? I so want to hear, Lord, what are you saying? So when Pastor Jose, who sends his love to everybody from Mozambique, when he left his message, he said, please call me back. How are you? Please call me back. So yeah, I did call him back, and he wanted to know how our family was, and he wanted to know what was happening here, and he felt a very strong impression from the Lord. So I was telling him about the direction that the Lord seems to be moving and taking. He was encouraged, and he had some good words of wisdom, which is what a good friend will give. And I thanked him for his maturity, because he's constant and stable. And we shared that together. We have a very strong connection in the Spirit. So he walks in the supernatural, he walks in the miraculous, he walks in peace. He can hear the voice of the Lord. He doesn't have boundaries. He doesn't have any boundaries. He doesn't say no. unless the Spirit of God really is saying no. His first response is a yes in his heart, because he desires God's human wisdom, we talked about this, above all else. Heavenly wisdom. He desires God's heavenly wisdom above all else, which would be human wisdom. He desires heavenly wisdom. He wants to hear from heaven. So as we were sharing that and talking about that and laughing and having a good time in the Spirit, I was reminded of the words that the Lord gave over the last few weeks about the desire in our hearts to walk with the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. I was telling him about that, and he was laughing. Hey, hey, hey. Wow. Tell my frontline family hello. I said, yeah. He says, how are they receiving that? I said, oh, well, I don't rightly know. I'm not in their hearts. Some are expressing things are increasing, and others are probably feeling a little bumped, and reactions are being felt. And our impulses to say no and limit will probably rise more in this season. And he said, yeah, that's what happens. But he said, this family is one that's going to the nations and it's growing. And I said, I know. But we talked about maturity and how the Lord is really desiring for us to not walk with pampers, but really walk in maturity. And he's taking us by the hand and getting us there. And so he will allow us to go through some bumping in this season. And I think we've had some bumping going on. I can certainly feel it. How about you? So it was really exciting to be able to connect with him. And that was in between several Ghana calls as well. And Pastor Samuel, Mama Vera, send their great love as well. So it was really quite a great day to be able to talk with the people who are, you know, our Ghana family and Mozambique family yesterday. But the Lord, with that in mind, and we can all, many of us relate to that because that's been our thrust, you know, in many ways this summer. But God is saying, you know, to cry out, give me the nations. To cry out for more and more and more of who he is. All the declarations and the decrees. And we could feel the presence of God. I sense his goodness rising in us today. And sense his goodness around us, hopefully. You know, he's saying, oh, kids, I so want to show you and teach you what glory really is. What glory really looks like. What does it mean when you say, Lord, show me your glory? I want to. I will. Yes, you were created for worshiping me. Yes, you're created to be one in heart with me. But those who are moving in that direction above all else will also be just cut to the heart with the very things that rip the guts out of our papa, meaning it hurts his heart. We will see with his eyes and we will be propelled by love to do something way beyond ourselves, and we won't have to reason anymore. We won't have to discuss anymore. It will be settled in our heart. Pastor Jose is really settled. I said, so are you going to Russia? Oh, well, yeah, I believe so. Got an invitation, but you know, it's just an invitation. But you know, God is showing me things. And if you don't know who Pastor Jose is, very soon in the next day or so, there will be on our website, at our homepage, there will be a video clip amongst the others on the right side of our homepage that talk about Pastor Jose's, well, he's being interviewed actually, so you'll see him, his miraculous pineapple project in Mozambique, which is now growing 10,000 pineapples, and what that looks like and what that means and what the vision is behind it. And Pastor Jose will receive millions. I know it. We pray for billions. And maybe he'll receive billions, maybe more. And he has a world call on him, but he's so content. But he's very determined. And he has no limits. I've never seen limits or boundaries. And what a satisfied man And what a very happy family he has. Even when they're not the focus of attention all the time. It's amazing to see what God is doing. He asked about all of you who were with us this summer. How are you? How is so-and-so doing? How is so-and-so doing? Just real heart connection. That's the kingdom. So in the next day or so, you will see major changes on the website. Finished. And it's been an adventure this last couple weeks. But you're going to see some things, and we're going to show you some things right now. Before we release the children, I want to show you one. It's about a minute and a half, and I'd like you to see it. And then, children, you can go. You're going to see a picture of some children in Cambodia. Would like you to view it with your eyes. Well, and hear it with your ears. And, you know, it's from a report that I watched on TV that my husband so graciously found, and I knew it was a divine appointment. And I shared it with our contacts in northern India last night. And it's a worldly report. You know, it's not from a Christian perspective. But yet it is, because it's about the justice of God. But people make mistakes. And what they do is, let's go for it. You know, I can't stand the things that are happening around the world. I got to go for it. And if they don't have all of the artillery and ammunition and protection, they can step into their own thinking while doing good. You know, and we don't want to do that. We want to say, Papa, what are you saying? What are you doing right now? What has your heart been in this? We know you hate what's going on, but what do you say? I want to know. And personally, I want to partner with people in this body who really share that. I pray it's you. I want to partner for these kingdom adventures. I pray that's your heart. I pray it's growing. Mine's growing, I know. It's so on fire, it's hard to contain this flame that's burning so strong. But it's very fun, because I'm propelled by love. I'm controlled by love. I trust. That's the desire, my heart anyway. And it's so passionate that it's pushing me, but not in a pushing that the enemy likes to do, because Papa's voice is very different from the enemy's. Yeah. So I'm going to show this to you, and when the little children see this, I want the little children to know that I will tell you that some of these little kids in Cambodia things are being done to them that are not nice. And some of the things that your mommies and daddies tell you, that you don't want other people touching you and doing bad things to you, that's what's happening to the children. So it's very general, I believe. I'm trusting, as I remember. Okay, it's only about a minute and a half, but I just want you to see Cambodia right now. This part. Okay, this is in Sway Park, Phnom Penh, in Cambodia, and this is through the International Justice Mission, which is a special interest group and does a lot of good things in the world, but not necessarily always by supernatural wisdom of God, heavenly wisdom, you know. Although God can use anybody. So we want to show you this, and then children are released, and then we're going to go into something. So I ask that if you are not in the kingdom, kids, that you would hopefully stay and see, because Drew's going to put up some things for us. So, okay, Drew, you can go ahead and put this.
International investigators are working to stop a growing and very disturbing trend in which hundreds of thousands of children are forced into prostitution. Dateline NBC has spent the better part of a year looking into this illicit trade in a place with a notorious reputation, Cambodia.
Here's in reality, it's an active global trade fueled by predators willing to travel halfway around the world to destinations like this dusty village in Cambodia. Here, the prey is plentiful and easy to stalk. Children peddled by young hustlers like this.
Hello.
A Dateline team went undercover with a human rights group, the International Justice Mission, run by Gary Haugen, who uses controversial tactics to rescue the children and bust the traffickers.
You basically run a sting operation. Sure.
In brothel after brothel, our hidden cameras found an endless supply of children, some as young as 5, all for sale.
Hey, you young girl, South Bay.
How are you doing over here?
Del 30 and 2 girls?
South Bay.
I think it's actually the ugliest, most preventable man-made disaster on our globe today.
Cambodia's Minister of Women's Affairs, Mu Sukua, says it's an overwhelming problem in her country.
Is there any way to even attach a number to this? To say how many children?
Around 30,000.
30,000?
Yes.
That's a staggering number.
Yes. Yes.
A child's tragic journey into the sex trade often begins in a family struggling for survival. This is a country where the average income is less than $300 a year. Some children are sold by their own parents. Others are lured by what they think are legitimate job offers, like waitressing, but then are forced into prostitution.
It's next to impossible for them to escape the brothels. It often takes an operation like the one we witnessed, in which 37 girls were rescued and a dozen suspected traffickers arrested. But what about the customers?
Okay, that's good.
They're men like this American doctor, Jerry Alba.
Just turn it off completely. Thank you. Just wanted you to get a picture of actual children in the brothels, that you could see this with your own eyes, because the Lord has given us the privilege of actually partnering right on the front lines with a very significant ministry that sees us as their covering, which is supernatural. It's amazing. And I know that we've highlighted this before, but I don't believe God's wanting to highlight today. I believe the Lord wants to speak to us about something very specific, as it's been just churning and churning and churning. It's like, Lord, what want me to do with this? And I believe God wants our hearts to be broken for things that break his heart, but with a proper perspective of the glory of God. Because we don't want to make mistakes. Oh, I know we will make mistakes, but I'm talking about life-threatening mistakes. What we want to do is give wise counsel. When I was talking to Pastor Benjamin last night, he said, I've got this and this and this and this and this, and I need wisdom, and I need prayer, and I need direction from God. And as I was speaking to him, he was calm, but he was listening and saying, okay, all right, yes, yes, yes. Very humble, doing things that none of us have done before, but yet recognizing the authority, recognizing the glory, and recognizing, hopefully, the humility of God. Why frontline? I don't know. I keep asking God. But God's doing something very big right now. And at this point, we received an 11-page letter from him that we've been waiting for a very long time. And we got it, and it's posted on our website now. And we're going to show you a few things, because I want you to see some things that will tie in with where he wants us to go with steps in our own personal walk and corporate walk to see the glory of God just coming in a greater way for ourselves as we worship the King. And so we can get a grip with, you know, on what this is, what God's really saying right now. That's why I'm highlighting this. I just really believe it's all on God's heart at this moment. So if you could put, we blocked out the eyes, and we're trying to fine-tune some things on this website. But I've asked you before to go to the website and read, and I know maybe some of you haven't yet. But now it's time, because God's shifting something. There's a shift. And I believe that he's preparing us to be part and parcel with that shift, and it's a good thing. But he wants to speak to us about the supernatural atomic weapons of our heart to be able to usher in, you know, God's presence and glory, to be able to walk in that divine wisdom, to be able to walk where we don't have a limitation that rises up as soon as someone approaches us. Boom, boundary goes up, limitation. That we really, when we declare and we decree, Lord, I want your wisdom, that we're walking with such peace and grace that we're going to recognize when we're being bumped, and it's a good bump. And then we say, wow, a chance to turn, a chance to think differently, a chance to change, a chance to have a change of mind or thinking or heart, or, you know, repent if we need to. How fun is that? God is saying, this is the season, this is the hour, because I'm calling you. And there are people all over the world, and God, you know, yeah, children are able to go. And God is able to use anybody, isn't he? But for some reason, he brought us to a place where he said, this is it for you guys, amongst other countries. It's like, Lord, we're small. And he goes, your point? Lord, we don't have the money, says your point. Lord, are we really where we need to be? And he says, I'm in charge of that. I was like, okay, I don't get it, but you're good. Please help me. Help me, Lord. I really want to see with your eyes. I don't want to just be a crusader for the sake of justice. No, I want to be so walking in your righteousness, so walking in deep, abiding humility that the Lord can recognize us and so can others. It's like, wow, they've learned these lessons well. And God is saying, I am purifying and I am increasing. But, oh, Lord, oh, children, I believe he's saying, please, it's something for some much more than beyond yourself, or much more than yourself, excuse me, for beyond yourself. Of course I want you. You are created for worship and created for open heavens. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that really looks like? Do you realize what you could be walking in right now and not 4 years from now, not even next year, right now? All it takes is, Lord, I see. But we, Lord, we need to have your eyes. So, Lord, give me your eyes because I'm desperate for you. I need desperation in my heart. If I don't have desperation in my heart, I'm really not going to go after you. I'm not going to recognize the distractions. I'm not going to recognize that there's something way beyond myself. You know, some of us are going into places that are extremely deep and dangerous, and that can be in the marketplace, that can be in a mission camp somewhere, can be in a brothel rescuing a kid. I don't know. God is saying, you need to have my heart and my eyes on every level, and there's much more. And I'm going to show you and teach you something. It's going to cause some of us, I think, to do an about face. Sometimes I think we're so afraid of having a spirit of poverty that we relish and we relax in the spirit of blessing and abundance so that we don't have a poverty spirit, and we will miss what God might be saying, what's happening right now. This is what he put on my heart. It's like, wow, oh, we want the abundant life. My goodness, we had kingdom wealth class. You know, let's get out of debt and let's do this and that and the other. What? The Lord is looking at the motivation of our hearts. He really is. And Josh was singing it out this morning to deal with, to walk against the evil that's out there, to deal with the oppressed, to really allow you, oh God, to change my heart and life. So when our own children are going through something, when we can embrace what God would have us say or do in our families, but also have a world heart and mindset, is that possible? I believe so. I believe so. I believe that he started and founded Frontline with that in mind. Local outreach, global impact is not just for doing the cool project. I really believe God's saying something to us that's going to be different. We can get a clarion call that says, okay, are you a facilitator? Are you a builder? You know, all those things that Cynthia was going on and on and on. I was reading them over in my notes that I took last night again, all the questions. And I thought, God, you're so cool. You love to ask questions. Ask me questions. And then I can say, I want to be. That's my heart. I believe those questions were meant to stir us. And any condemnation that came from that, that certainly would be a recognition point of, wow, something else you get to help me with, Lord. Yay. Because I believe the questions are good. And if someone came to you with a question or said, wow, this is what I feel or sense, can we talk? That each one of us would have the maturity at this season to say, I just want everything God has. What do you got to say? Find someone who's pretty stable. It's not up and down. That helps. So you're hearing rightly as well. But I'm going to bring this over. So I want to show you something. This little girl, we've been there and we know her. She's a little rascal. Her name is Blessing. And we have a video on our website. But we did block her eyes out. And I want to go over some of these points with you before the Lord takes us into some scripture that I really believe he's saying, this is the time for you to hear this. You know, please don't tune Pastor Mary Pat out because she mentions the word fasting. You know, because it's going to happen. Or at least that's what the enemy wants. But listen, just catch this and let God speak to your heart. It's not a boom, you know, a finger point. It's like, God, we want everything. So what are you saying right now? Okay, let's take a look at this. All right, we can keep going down. This is his 11-page newsletter. Okay, I'm going to get mine because I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, of course. I just want to highlight a few things that are extremely significant. And can I just say something real quickly? Yesterday I was crying at my computer because I'm on a presidential prayer alert and prayer list. I'm on a list, you know, to pray. And I get this alert that 10 people are killed in Afghanistan. And they're part of a Christian group, you know, a nonprofit Christian organization, many of them. And 6 of them are Americans because they went into an area of Afghanistan and did some eye surgery and things like that in the village. And the Taliban came and just shot them. And they said that they were imposters. They had a right to be there, supposedly. It was okay. And I'm reading this, and it was just a high alert. 6 of them are Americans. Please pray for their families. Please pray. And as I'm reading this, you know, I just started to cry because I thought, oh my gosh, that could be anybody that we know. And I don't even know these people. But Lord, I want to feel what you feel. More than going, well, we need to pray for that. You are right. It just made me cry. It's like, oh my gosh. And they were doing God's work. Now, I don't know where they're coming from spiritually, but when I was reading in this newsletter that Pastor Benjamin had 3 angels guiding and leading him and a rescue team to rescue kids, you know, in the various countries that I'm not going to put on the tape right now because more people, because this is out, are going to listen to this. So I'm just not going to say it. I've already said it before. And you guys have heard that maybe on a different time. But there are a variety of countries. So I won't say where the rescues are. I will say this. I will mention Cambodia because I wanted you to see this. A new base was just opened in Cambodia. Do you know what that means? A new base. This is northern India now. Southeast Asia. A new base was opened in Cambodia. Where is it? I'm not saying. Why? Because these little ones, their eyes are covered, they're at risk. That's why. And we take it so carefully in the relationship that we have with Pastor Benjamin is one of love and trust. He knows we love those kids. And there's now 613. That's a lot of children. And so all the children that you will see on this 11-page newsletter now will have their eyes covered, and hopefully the rest are covered as well in the website, the Redemption website. But it's pretty serious stuff. I want to go all over. I want to go to every church in Canton. I want to go all over the nation. It's like a burning thing. It's like, Lord, what are you calling Frontline to do? We need to equip people. People need to know. Not because I'm on a brigade, because it's a charge from God. Saying, I opened up something for you. Can you see? And when Pastor Benjamin was talking to me about, you know, what they're doing in his ministry there, which is extremely detailed and much deeper than, not, I should say much deeper, but they do a lot more than even what you're seeing. I'm not going into it right now, another Sunday. But he said, wow, maybe you could bring people from the school of worship over. When can you come? I don't know. You see, God is saying, I've got the world on my heart. Don't look at how small you are. Don't do that. That would be a big mistake because then you're doubting me. Because I'm the one that gave the divine connection for Mozambique, for Ghana, for these other places. So don't you think that the enemy is, he's going to wrestle with us and he's going to start kicking us so that we can get comfortable? If we are so comfortable in our perfect world, that goes for me too. It's like I might miss some things because I'm just too busy. And dare I say, one more picnic to go to, because I could be accused of, oh my gosh, you're against family and picnic and fun. Of course I'm not.
But I'm saying to you, God is really wanting to wreck our hearts so we get this. So, you know, the things that we will do for natural pleasure that we can put a spiritual note on, whether I'm not saying family necessarily, it can be, but it can be other things because we deserve it, don't we? We deserve these things. And God says, you know what? You wrestled with so many things where you didn't deserve it because you weren't really walking in the fullness of the fear of the Lord that you went to the other side. And it's like, God is saying, get my heart of balance because I'm going to change your world. I'm going to rock your world in the area of time, the area of finances. It's like, God, in the area of praying, everything. He's going to increase us because he's speaking. He is increasing us and he's wanting us to get this. So as we're going through this, I'm going to tell you what page I'm on, Drew, because I'm not really. It says, on page one, it says, the battle is very fierce here at the front lines. Time is paramount. Each day we're losing hundreds of children to the enemy. We had a talk about that last night. The race to rescue lives has taken on a whole new level. Notwithstanding the problem with resources, we're waging a relentless battle against the enemy. And we've been in a mission for 15 years, which has tested us beyond what we could endure, it seemed, which required more and more of his grace each day in our lives. It's like, okay, well, I don't live in India or Cambodia, but Lord, you're calling me to relate on a spiritual level. How can I? We can, because Jesus did. And Jesus said, you can do the things that I do, even greater things. Like, okay, well, then I can see and I can learn. I can see where humility needs to increase in my life. I can ask God, where are the spots where I think I'm just as humble can be? But from your perspective, you're growing me up. Where would that look like, Papa? Because I'm so in love with you, I want to hear everything you have to say. And then he takes us by the hand, and we change much more quickly in the areas that he's calling us to change in so that we can, you know, be in greater accord for some of these great adventures together. Our mission is to give a love identity, a life identity to hundreds of enslaved children, and we continue to do that. We are like David pitted against a Goliath. And it says here, it's an updated letter, it says, God's been leading us in this all-out war for the lives of these precious children and hundreds of thousands which are in the hands of predators. In 24/7, we're at it, rescuing, caring, and bringing the lives of children, the love of God. And see, that's where the International Justice Mission, that's not their focus. They do a lot. But what this ministry is doing is taking them from the brothels and helping them all the way through into their adult life from a very Christian perspective. We've been there. It's amazing. It's amazing to see a child that isn't the full center of attention absolutely beam with the love of Jesus. Like, how could that be? I'm living in a house with a bunch. How could that be? Now, my desire is that when we go home and we talk about this with our loved ones, that we don't, that we are wise, so that we don't come into a negative agreement. What do you think? I think this, yeah, I think that. Let's check it with the kingdom of God, because it may cause us to shift a little bit in how God is looking at all of our lives. It's not saying we're doing things wrong. It's saying, God, how can we grow closer to your heart? What does it really look like? Am I willing to hear it? Am I willing to step out and listen to what you're saying? I think that's a simple thing, but be ready to hear what he says. Because if we don't want to hear what he really is saying, that he's enabling us to hear, then we won't receive it and put it into practice. So that's kind of fun. So he goes on. I'm going to let you, of course, read this yourself, and I really exhort you to do it, to read it. I'm just highlighting some pictures, and Drew can go through some of them. I'm going to you can just show them the pictures. You just kind of scroll down and have fun showing them. I'm going to just read some things. If you can hear me while you're looking, you can do these two things. That would be great. Okay. I want to read a few things just that will, I think, bless you. Just made me cry. Just before, Pastor Benjamin just got married to Adriana, and she's a beautiful girl, and she's very blessed, and she's actually, not a spring chicken, not just out of the camp, and she waited and waited and waited for God's very best. We were talking about it last night on the porch about 11 o'clock, and she said, all these years, I mean, more than most in this group could even relate to, probably. And I said, whoever would have thought that God prepared you for such an amazing opportunity to give your entire life? But she said, I wanted to give my life even before that, but I never knew it would be this grand, this great. It's like, wow. Well, when he says, as he was praying, he heard the cries of 8 precious children waiting to be rescued. He actually heard their cries as he was spending time with the Lord. I heard them crying, and he felt that was from the Lord. I meshed my thoughts together with what God wanted to do. It was impossible to do it with so many challenges at all fronts. His budget is $35,000 a month. And he trusts God every month. We're like, Lord, I don't know what to do. You would think this would all be in order. Ducks are in a row, and, finances are taken care of. Children are sponsored. Where do you see all the kids that aren't sponsored? Tons of them. No sponsors yet. But that's why we have Redemption website. It's like, you're kidding me, God. How can this be? Well, here's what he says. It was impossible to do this rescue with many challenges all over, but God made a way. It was nothing but the Spirit of God resting upon me and many other heralders of freedom to give hope to these children, which enabled us to do what we could. We pushed our resources to the fullest on this quest for the lives of the children held in darkness by the enemy, and a rescue mission was underway, which started on June 26th, this summer. The place we went to, now please catch this, was a place full of utter darkness where hundreds of children were held in captivity, enslaved and abused. Fried bees, roasted larvae, and fried termites. After some time, you learn not to ask what you're eating. It can spoil your appetite. But food wasn't our concern. It was now or never for these 8 precious children. Mustering up all the resources we could, we went ahead with this trip, and it was dangerous. A mission which involved confrontation as the kids were already abducted. And this was in a different country. Children as young as 4 years old were abused. There were customers who were asking for 4 children at a time to satisfy their sadistic desires. It was heart-rending to see children being taught how to give pleasure. My heart was ripped apart time and time again as I saw the evil that was taking place in the world that God created. We had 3 visitations from angels on this trip. It was amazing. Our hearts still pound with exuberant joy and awe to see how God is taking care of us. These enslaved children... Oh, no, listen to this. I'm sorry. He said, truth rooted in Scripture is at its best learned by experience. Yet the marvels of God can be explained. They can be taught, proclaimed, and discussed. They can come alive, though, when we experience them. When we walk with God, if we run with God, miracles will chase us. Let me read that again. When we walk with God and run with God, miracles will chase us. Grace will be provided as and when needed. Each day I say, Lord, I want to know your heart. I want to know what you're thinking. What do you want me to do? That's what I desire and nothing else. It's like, wow, these enslaved children need us. Their innocent hearts being brainwashed into thinking that sex is what can help them build their lives. When he rescued a 12-year-old, here's what she said, he quoted it. I was told that if I would do and serve customers, that would make my parents rich, and I will have a great name in the world. People will love, and they will come from far to see you and love you. And he goes on and on and on. He says, we must do what David did. He took on the giants and the oppressors. He took the risks. He knew that he can't let his people be destroyed. He took a step. He risked his life because he knew it was God. Now, there are lots of statistics, and I think Drew can put some of those statistics up there. Oh, there you go. I think it's before this, Drew, isn't it? If they show up. Did you know? It doesn't show up very well. Well, you can go to the website and read it. And there's a couple places in the website where these statistics are. And so, thank you, Jesus. I will say that 1.2 million children are trafficked every year, two every minute. And the average age is about 14. And 9.5 billion is made through human trafficking. Okay, well, we're going to go to the last page, if we could, because there's a page of prayer requests. Now, when we were there in March, you know, we were encouraging Pastor Benjamin, you know, to build this home. He wants a home for 1,000 children. And I said, 1,000? That's too small. So he increased with his vision. He used us to increase him. We're going to build it for 1,000 somehow, because there's land that's adjacent to the land that he has. Right now, he needs 200,000 and wants to break ground in September, has nothing. And I said, you'll have the money. I don't know how. Can God do that very quickly? Yes. Do we have 200,000 in our treasury? No. Are we standing in faith and believing? Yes. And that's just the beginning, but God is expanding, and it's his kingdom. He's expanding before the money's there. That's what's really cool. So these children have actually been moved out of their homes, one in Orissa. You can read about it, but Pastor Benjamin had to try to find another place for them, just moved out. They'd been there for many years, and now even in the north, I shouldn't have mentioned that, but in the north, one of the boys' homes was shut down because they'd been there 10 years, and the guy came and said, gotta go. It's like, what do? So they're, you know, really facing big things. So it's like, Lord, give the wisdom. What do? He says, you have a voice. Speak it out. But the people who are with you, your frontline family, hearts need to be together for these things. We need to be thinking right. We need to be hearing right. And I believe God will take the simplicity of our heart and show us. You know, we can plan our futures of what our world's going to look like here. And it will feel good because we have a right, we think. But God is saying, I have an upside down kingdom. Let me speak to you about what you can do from my perspective. That's all I want to know. Because if it's my own perspective so that I can have my perfect world or close to it, then we might not really hear. We need to go to the Lord on a different level and say, Lord, I'm starting over. Speak to me. Doesn't mean that we can't have nice things. But God is speaking to us. He's saying, what will you do with what you have and what you know? What will you do? So that's part of it. We're finishing up being able to adopt out kids or to sponsor children, and that should be finished in the next day or so. And we're going to take that on as well and get this message out to as many people we can't even think of. So we're going to ask you, you know, we have a website, we have a mailing list, email list of a number that's a good number, but it's not complete. And if you have those that you think might want to help, maybe they're not the most on fire for Jesus, but they would receive a letter from us and go to our website. If you go to this Redemption website, I really think that even the hardest of the hard would say, wow, let me do something, which can actually open up the windows of heaven over them. But we really need help with this. But one thing I do want to highlight right now is, if you would, I think it can be shown, Isaiah 58, which is on whatever page that is, Drew. Is this not the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Isaiah 58:6. And, you know, there's a lot of things that God put on my heart for today, and it's like, Lord, you know, we're only here for a short time, and I certainly want to hear what you're saying in this hour and what you want us to grab hold of right now. from a place of deep humility, hopefully. It's like, what are you saying to us? And I really sensed that he wanted me to speak a little bit about fasting to us, because fasting is the earmark of one of the earmarks of our ministry here. But I think the enemy has shot holes in a lot of our hearts because we don't really understand. He wants to keep us very ignorant, and he also wants to keep us bound so that we don't understand the depth of his heart behind it. You know, we have fasting and prayer and all that, and it sounds good. It maybe doesn't fit our time schedule. But if we don't have an understanding in our heart of what God is saying and doing in this hour, then it's easy to dismiss it. I can't do this because. I can't because. But the I can'ts can turn into I can'ts if we have something from God, an understanding from God, the spirit of revelation, to lead us into a place of really recognizing, what in the world are you saying about this, God? And I believe through the word of God, we're going to see some changes. So I'm just asking you to cooperate here and open your Bibles. And if you want to write some of these verses down, I think it will be helpful. And if you really want to take some steps into some areas that may change your thinking, we do have some materials. And one is, I don't know if somebody can go get that book. We have The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting. And this is a very spiritual book about fasting. I've read many, and some of them are, it's just the law. It's like, yeah, I want to be spiritual, so I'm going to do this. And we don't want to do that. We want to love Jesus, and we want the kingdom of God to come. Thanks, Paul. And we want the glory of God to go to the nations, and we want to see the oppressed set free, and we want Isaiah 61. And we're created for worship, and all the things that we're about in this place. And the Lord says, I want you to see what I say about something that might not hit your radar. Because if we're in the season of exposure for things of the kingdom that are going to help us just be propelled into a place that's going to provide an atomic explosion. Yay, I like that. And God is saying, please let me speak to you. And Jesus wasn't quite that kind sounding about it. Actually, he's always kind, but he kind of grabs your attention real strongly. Thank you. We have several in the office, and there was an email sent out, because we know they're floating around the ministry somewhere, but no one responded that I'm aware of to that email, maybe one. And so The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting by Mahesh Shabda is really somebody who knows the Spirit of God really well in this area, because it's really hard to impart what you haven't experienced. And he's experienced so much and has so much wisdom from heaven. It will change your heart. And if you've got questions, and it's like, I can't, or I don't want to, or it's too hard, or, you know, I don't have time, or it's inconvenient, or it doesn't make sense to me, or I'll do it when I want, and don't tell me any, you know, whatever it would be, anything that rises up, I'm too sick, I'm too this, I'm too that, I am too weak, and if I do this, I can't think at work. All the things that we talk about, if you read this and put it before the Lord, there may be some things that will change in your heart. And there's another one that I forgot I had. And I was browsing this last night very late because I forgot about it. But if you want to get another one, it's 40 Days of Prayer and Fasting by Mahesh Shabda. It's like, oh, this is so good. But anyway, The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting is something that I really exhort everyone in here to read. Every person, everyone. If you're a leader, we need to lead. And we need to lead by example. And that means all of us, because we're all stepping into leading, aren't we? Pastor Benjamin's the leader. If he wasn't praying and fasting in his world, he may be dead. Because there's so much power that is released through a fasted and prayerful lifestyle together, and understanding how it looks and understanding the corporateness of it, as well as the individual side. If we have a spiritual revelation understanding of that, that's really strong, the enemy will fight us to try to rob us from that. We may have had that, you know, in our life at certain points. But, you know, God wants us to guard what he has exposed us to, because we can actually get to the point where we take the glory for granted. And when the glory starts to show up and we have visions and we feel good, and it's like, oh my gosh, we will not even know necessarily if we take the glory for granted. it's a possibility that we won't know how to carry that. And the Lord wants to entrust us with more. He wants us to go higher into the kingdom, whatever that looks like. He wants us to experience him. And sometimes, you know, we limit what God wants to do. And this is one way of opening ourselves up to experience him at a level and a place where there is a cost to pay. Because it's awfully fun to worship God, and it's really not hard. You may think it is, but we come with an expectancy that that's what we're going to do, worship with the song and being led. But when we're, you know, wanting to eat, or, you know, if we're choosing to fast and we understand why and what it really looks like, then sometimes that cost is so, it feels really rough. And it's like, I just really need to get your heart in this. I really need to understand what you're saying and doing and allow you to come in. I mean, I invite you and exhort you that after this message that you would sit before the Lord and ask him, show me more, you know, not just what are the benefits of, but why do we even talk about fasting? What is fasting? What do you have to say about this in your word? I can only go over so much today, but I can begin and say some things. Can you turn in your Bible to Matthew 17, 14 through 21? Very familiar scripture to some of us, and you may want to jot this down because I think the Lord wants to speak some high points to us today. If you look at Matthew 17, 14 through 21, it's a situation, if you recall, where we had a person who came out of the crowd, fell to his knees begging, "Master, have mercy on my son. He goes out of his mind and suffers terribly, falling into seizures, and he's pitched into fire and other times." And this is the message version. Let me read it to you. Hear this. Jesus said, "What a generation. No sense of God. No focus to your lives." It's like, what? Lord, please. I'm all about the glory. What are you saying? What do you mean, Jesus? These are your words. He says, "How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this?" He's not talking about putting up with people. But he's hearing something that is happening and is responding to it. He says, "Bring the boy here." And he ordered the afflicting demon out, and it was gone. From that moment, the boy was well. And when the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, they said, "Well, why couldn't we cast it out or throw it out?" He says, "Because you're not yet taking God seriously." I read that and about dropped. I'd never read it before in the message. I never did. It was like, wait, I'm serious about you, Jesus. But Jesus, this is the message version, but Jesus is saying, because you're not yet taking God seriously, said Jesus, the simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, you would tell this mountain, move, and it would move. There is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. I mean, that hit me between the eyes. And I went, Lord, I was just preaching about the seriousness of this message just 2 weeks ago, and Cynthia was and Pastor Bill were all saying, talking about the seriousness of God right now, and it's like, God, I see you as this wonderfully loving, kind papa who puts his arms around me, and it's like, I love that about you, but when you're speaking and we know you're so serious, thus saith the Lord, or verily, verily, I say unto you, Lord, I want to know exactly what you mean. I want the spirit of wisdom and revelation to fall upon me, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding and knowledge to be able to be my portion. I want the spirit of the fear of the Lord to be the beginning of wisdom, Lord. I want it all. Wreck me. Wreck my world. I just really believe we'll see huge changes, not in our own personal life alone, but even in our family and our kids, and extended beyond that. Because this is not my mandate. I didn't write the book. It's like, God. Well, the Amplified says, and Jesus answered, "Oh, you unbelieving." Now they said, "Warped, wayward, and rebellious." I said, "Oh, man, Lord, I'm getting spanked. And perverse generation, how long am I to remain with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And the boy was cured instantly. Okay, here's Jesus' response. "Because of the littleness of your faith, that is, your lack of firmly relying trust. For truly I say to you, If you have living faith, like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. It's like, well, Lord, if we're going to these deep places, you know, some of our families, we see demons grabbing people. We see our sons, our daughters, our brothers, our sisters, and they're demonized or whatever. It's not just, you know, the paraplegic, and you think, oh my gosh, if we just, we have to pray harder for that one. God is saying, anything that is severely, that is oppression, God is saying, there, some of these will not move without prayer and fasting. It's like, why? That's what we want to talk about. It's like, what? I mean, the disciples, for heaven's sakes, they were with Jesus, weren't they? And they're asking this question. I mean, the Pharisees were asking the question, saying, why don't your disciples, why don't they fast? They're not fasting right now. You know what Jesus said to them? Let me read this. This is so good. And some of you may know this, but let me read it to you. This would be in Matthew 9, 12 through 20, if you want to study this later, because I don't have time to go into the depth of it. Okay? Jesus overhearing, this is the message, shot back when they were asking about this fasting. Who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? Go figure out what the scripture means. I'm after mercy, not religion. I'm here to invite outsiders, not coddle the insiders. Whoa. A little later, John's followers approached, saying, well, why is it that we and the Pharisees rigorously discipline our body and spirit by fasting, but your followers don't? Here's what Jesus says. When you're celebrating a wedding, you don't skimp on the cake and the wine. You feast. Later, you may need to pull in your belt, but not now. No one throws cold water on a friendly bonfire. This is kingdom come. But listen to this. He went on. No one cuts up a fine silk scarf to patch old work clothes. You want fabrics that match, and you don't put your wine in cracked bottles. Or you don't put your wine, the new wine that we're singing about, in old wineskins. Whoa. It's like, okay. So what does that really mean? What are you saying here? Yeah. After this, I was just reading on beyond the passage of verse 17. And this is, Jesus immediately went into raising a girl from the dead and dealing with the woman with the issue of blood. It's like, oh my gosh, he got it. You know, when he was baptized in the River Jordan and the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was water baptized, spirit baptized, and then he went into the wilderness. Many of you have heard this preaching before. And when he went into the wilderness, he was praying and fasting for 40 days. And the Lord said that he went in full of the Holy Spirit and he came out in the power. And the power of the Holy Spirit was upon him. There's a difference. And the Lord says, if you want my difference, if you want my difference, if you, thank you, Paul, if you really want to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost, where you're not going to have limitations, hindrances, and things like that, they're going to continue to plague where you don't have a way out, a way of escape at that moment to be able to see it. Or if someone is sharing that with you, you'll say, oh my gosh, thank you. God is saying the power of the Spirit is what we need. Benjamin and I were talking about this, the power that's needed for what he's doing in rescuing these kids. In less than 10 days, they're going to rescue more from Cambodia, going right into the places that you're seeing. Because our base is there, somewhere. And people have been trained up. It's like, wow. And they're going to be brought back into India. It's a big deal. It's a very big deal. And lives can be lost. So, you know, we need power, don't we? Don't we need power for this? Do we see ourselves doing what they're doing? Can we be trusted with more in this ministry? It's like, Lord, I can't even deal with my own life. I'm giving you tools. Listen to the last three messages again and again and again and ask yourself, Lord, show me. And I want to spend time in your presence, and shoot me up to heaven so I can hang with you and see those special rooms so that I'm really seeing your face, hearing you, and not just seeing the heavens open. There's more with that. God says, I want you to see beyond what you're seeing right now. And you can have it. It doesn't matter how young, it doesn't matter how old. Remember when Anna was fasting and praying? The story of Luke and the Gospel of Luke. She's 84 years old. She, thanks, Lord. Praying and fasting 24/7. Ooh, how could that be? Well, they lived at a different time. I'm just saying, God is saying, this is the beginning. God is saying, you're stepping into it. When the Spirit and the bride say, come, and we've been speaking about the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and the bride of Christ, and when our hearts are crying out, saying, bridegroom, come back! Bridegroom, come back! Bridegroom, come back! And until you do, I'm going to fast, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to be a watchman. Bridegroom, come back! That's what that scripture is talking about. About putting new wine into new wine skins. The Lord is saying, are you hungry for your husband, bride, to come back? Are you preparing and making yourself ready? Do this through prayer and fasting as well as you're worshiping the Lord. If you say, no, not this part of my life, leave me alone, I believe that we are immature. Take it. I speak it to myself. And it's not the law. I'm so free. It's so much fun. It's like, wow. But I want to be freer because I want to see what you're really saying to me and to this body. What do you say about corporate prayer and fasting? What do you say about individual prayer and fasting? What do you say about time carved out? If we say we don't have time, then we need to change what we do somehow. We need to change, and we can. We can change. If we want to change, if we don't have a desperation in our heart, we will not change. And if this rises up in you and you go, ooh, girl, you probably need to be set free. Because I did not write this. It's like, oh, it's a fun thing, but it's hard. Meaning there's a cost to pay. It's a price to pay. And there's wisdom for how we go about doing this and how we start. But some of us have started and retreated. And we've even convinced ourselves, oh, we had the wrong motives before. You probably have listened to the enemy. And maybe there's some truth in that. But the enemy is really a stinker, and he really tries to mess us up. But this is how we were founded, as a house of prayer. And God says, oh, I so want to grow you guys to see this. Because you need my atomic weapons. You need my power. You need something more than, let's keep doing what we're doing. And no. We need that faith. To be able to call in a $200,000 check, boom, somebody writes it. I'm believing for that. I told him last night, I said, I believe something's going to happen and you're going to get that. And I'm not going to explain away saying, now don't you feel pressure. If you've got it, great. If not, God does somewhere, he'll call it down. But the Lord says, God is bigger than than our world and what we... how we've ordered ourselves and our 5-year plan, maybe even our 3-month plan and our 6-year plan and everything else. Put it down before the Lord and start again and ask him, what are you saying? That's what I would do, because that's what I'm trying to do myself, you know, in bigger increase. She got a bussy. Well, you know, the spirit of religion denies the glory. That means that when the glory starts showing up, we're messing doing something else and it's not touching us. Do you know that that's religion in us? Because the spirit of religion rises up above that. We don't like hearing that. None of us, but it's the truth. So it's like, show me where that could be. I want to sense when you're near. If I'm not sensing when you're near, show me why I'm not sensing when you're near. Well, I'm on a path, I'm in a process, I'm. Show me, Lord. I want to see. And don't ask the one next to you in the same place. That does not help you. Ask somebody else, or ask the Lord, and do both. It'll go so much easier for everybody. Everybody. Okay, Matthew 6:17, another one you can write down. It says, when you fast. So there's an expectation from Jesus. He says, when. He doesn't say if. He says, when. When the bridegroom, we're anticipating the bridegroom coming, and we're the bride of Christ, then we are fasting and praying till his return. That's why we're partnering with the three-day Global Bridegroom Fast. That's why we do that corporately. That's the reason for it. If you don't do it, are you shamed? No. I don't care if you don't do it. We're doing it. We're going for it. And you can do what you want to do. If you feel pressure because I have to, then you've probably got an issue, because that's not coming from here. But you need to talk to the Lord about that. But before you decide, oh, I'm not doing that, because you might have another issue. You need to talk to the Lord for real and really hear what he's saying, really hear what his heart is. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fasting helps release the power of the Spirit, and it facilitates a freer flow. The junk comes out. We've talked about that before. I want you to write down Isaiah 58:6, which is the scripture that you actually see here. Isaiah. Is this not the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Oh my goodness, if you read the rest of that chapter from your heart, the Lord will give you a bunch of areas where you're going to be getting personal benefit and corporate benefit that will show you what I'm saying in detail. Okay? The Lord will say, you want to set the oppressed free? You want the bonds of slavery, the yoke, to come off? Do you want the nations for your inheritance? Do you want to see a nation saved in a day? Do you want? All the things we cry out and sing about. The Lord says, this is part of our regime. This is part of who we are as we sing and we pray and we fast. This is what we do. And it was kind of interesting. This morning I was getting ready to go, and I was asking the Lord, I said, okay, well, these disciples, they didn't fast. They're with you. And they still couldn't cast the demon out. That speaks volumes to me. It's like, why? Why? Was Jesus mad? No. Jesus wasn't angry at them, but he was angry. Or I should say that he was saying, how long shall I put up with the generation of thought that doesn't understand that my presence will bring the release? My presence will also include, seeking my face will also include prayer and fasting, because Jesus did. And he's the ultimate role model. Don't we want to be like Jesus? Don't we want to be able to do what Jesus did? When we examine Isaiah 58, we're going to see that the same bondages, if there are any in our own life, will fall off. The same cords of oppression. Okay, why don't I want to show up and do such and such? Because I don't want to. I got something else more important. If you start to fast about that, you might have a change of heart. God might show you. It's really true. God might speak to you about something. God is speaking to me about my life all the time, and I know a lot of it is through prayer and fasting. Because he wants us to develop a fasted and prayerful lifestyle that will change us. There have been times in my life when the Lord has saved me. You know, I've done stupid things in my life, as you all have. But I thank God for a fasted and prayerful lifestyle. Even in the midst of some mistakes, God has opened my eyes going, whoa, hey, whoa. And I have to repent and move on. Thank God for his blood. But God is saying, don't be aware that the enemy will do anything to steal this from you. And he may have already done that if you haven't started that. And maybe it's been very religious. Well, I've tried this, it doesn't work. Well, then we need to talk to the Lord, because he came up with a plan. And this plan will release the atomic weaponry that we need. We need that. We need to be protected. It's not enough anymore to go, wow, that Pastor Benjamin. Oh my gosh, those guys were ready to cut up that little kid. And thank God there was an angel behind him. Do you know all heaven will back us up as we learn how to tap into everything that he gives us? So he's giving us more. And he's saying, open your eyes and I'll show you what the more is. Go on a quest. Remember last time I preached, I was talking about Proverbs 2, 1 through 10. And the Lord said in there, he says, treasure my commands. Treasure my commands. And I talked about, you shall love me and do not fear. Okay, how about when you fast and pray? What? So it's a sense of obedience, what we take with the Lord, but he wants us to understand why we're doing what we're doing, so that it becomes a desire. It's like, I want to. No one makes us fast. God says, I want you to see this. If you'll get it in your heart, you need to go deeper on this subject. And that's why I really think hidden power of prayer and fasting is so helpful, because it touches on a lot of these things. I've read it many times. It's really good. It's not the only thing out there, but it's really written from a grace, from a grace perspective. And when you're walking in grace and God's power is coming, it's like, wow, I can't wait to do this again. And gee, it's not easy sometimes. And I do want this and I want that. And I feel like I want to throw up and I got this headache and everything else. But Lord, I want to understand my body. I want to understand this time. I want to understand. I want freedom in every area of my life and others, period. And whatever that will look like, I want to be part of it. Yay. What a thrill. What an opportunity. So some of the benefits, because of time, let me just read a few that I've made note of in, from Isaiah 58:6, and you can discover them yourself, 6 through the rest of the chapter. But righteousness and healing. You know, we talk about fight for the heart of the king, righteousness of Jesus. Okay, this can increase in us through prayer and fasting. The presence of the glory of God, answered prayers, continued guidance, contentment in the Lord, refreshment, strength. It's the Bible actually says in Isaiah 58 that we're like a well-watered garden. There's a flowing in our garden. There's a flow of the Holy Spirit that's really, really strong. And it comes through this, through the denial of the flesh in a way that God wants to help us understand, to see the benefits of. He doesn't want us to do a religious thing because it will just, we'll just stop it. We'll say, well, that didn't work. I don't want to do it. Or maybe we started out with a good intention and heart, and the enemy's trying to creep in there to convince us of something else. And that's what we need to go after, honestly. And probably repent. You remember how fun it is, you know, to be refreshed and just say, Lord, I want your way. I want to repent. If you show me something that I missed or that I haven't seen till now, I don't want to be ignorant, and I certainly don't want to be stubborn. And if I need to repent, yippee, because you're going to free me, and I'm going to be more on fire. I'm going to be able to see the things that you're saying, and I'm going to be able to do the things you want me to do or that are in my heart that you want me to do, even the things that I don't know that you want me to do. I'm stepping into the fullness of my destiny in a greater measure. I'm doing it now. I can do this. Ah, yes, Lord. Revelation, restoration, raising up future people, future generations. Oh my goodness. If we want any kind of deliverance at all, for ourselves, for our family members, we have to be desperate. You want to see somebody in your family member freed? Be so desperate for that. Lord, I'm going after this. I'm not letting something else say, oh, I'll deal with it another day. Go after it. And that's humility. That's real humility. The Lord says, humble yourselves. Me and you, you and I, under the mighty hand of God. That's humility. It's a way of increasing in humility, understanding what fasting looks like and how it works. And the humble servant of all, Jesus, lived that kind of fasted lifestyle and says, I'm speaking to you. I want to be a giant for him in the kingdom, so that I can be a giant slayer. And I am inside, but I want that to be released. It's like, what was Jesus saying to his disciples? Why? They didn't get it. Wasn't it enough to be with him? They were still growing, do you see, in the presence of God. The bridegroom was right there in their midst, and they were still growing, and they could not cast out that demon. And they were given the authority from God. Oh, let's look at it. Where is it? Matthew 10. Look at Matthew 10. Shout out us. Okay. Take a look at Matthew. Well, actually, Matthew 9 at the end. He said to his disciples in 9:37, he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. And it goes right into the next chapter, verse 1. So Jesus summons his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits. Well, why couldn't these be cast out? Because they were still growing and learning. He gave them the authority. We claim this verse and we say, hey, we have all the authority. The Lord says, I want you to walk in it. This is a way to do that. Doesn't mean that authority hasn't been given. It means it needs to be released. So he says, I gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Wow. Verse 7 down below that. And as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely you've been given, or freely you give. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, which other verses do you want me to mention? There's a couple more I think he wants me to highlight. Shadabaso. I'm just going to give you a couple to look up, because I'm trusting that if you're interested, you will. Jeremiah 21:12 I wrote down. I thought that was a good one. And it gives us the responsibility. It talks to us about the responsibility of rescuing others. Just like Cynthia was saying, so are you part of the problem or the solution? Bam, between the eyes. What does it mean? There's a good verse to back it up. God says you do have a responsibility. Do you remember when Cain said, he said, so am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Like, whoa, I am? Wait a minute. I have a responsibility. And so we want to be able to fulfill our responsibility, and this is some weaponry to be able to help us do that. And of course, Isaiah 61, all familiar to us. So we want to choose to raise the bar for our expectation level. Lord, give me your expectations, because they're good. They're from a good daddy, from a really good daddy. And do you know that independence, actually, this is something I was thinking about, independence makes us more prone to deception. We'll do dumb things. We make mistakes and go, what was I thinking? What did I do? How did that happen? Oh my gosh. Some sooner than later, get out of that. But you don't want to be captured by something so strong that you don't get out of it. That's scary. You don't want that. And you heard that mentioned quite well from Pastor Bill last week. So that's another scripture verse. And the only other thing I felt that the Lord wanted me to do is just read something from someone who has done way more than I have ever done in prayer and fasting. That's Mahesh Chavda. And I was going through this book last night, you know, just reading and having fun with it again. And I just wanted to highlight a couple things that he said. This is an expert. What's an expert? Somebody who does it. Does a lot of it. And actually, he's kind of known as the father of fasting. He's done like 17, 40-day fasts and such, but he's filled with power and authority, and he's amazing. I can't read that because it's so light at all. So why don't you tell me? Okay. Let me read to you a couple of things that I think will encourage you. Encouraged me, just a couple of things that he wrote. And then you can start thinking about this for yourself. And I believe everyone around you, many people around you, will try to talk you out of it. Not everyone. Okay, I wrote this, I forget what it is now. Okay, here we go. Some diseases, such as cancer, HIV, AIDS, viruses, and almost all forms of mental illness, carry such a paralyzing weight of fear and invincibility that many Christians feel almost helpless in their efforts to overcome them through prayer. But we also know from the scriptures that even these must bow their knee to the authority of the risen Lord. I give much credit, not all, okay, hear that, for the healings in the ministry to the lifestyle of prayer and fasting the Lord gave me. In my weakness, God reveals his strength. I think those times helped move me out of the way so God could reveal his glory without hindrance from my flesh. The Lord laid a foundation and then was able to cleanse me in such a way that I could hear more clearly what he was saying and cooperate with him. The key to defeating dark strongholds is twofold. Here we go. Twofold. I like this. This is for us, if we have any, and anybody else. First, we must tap into the power of the Spirit through the combination of prayer and fasting. And secondly, we will overcome in the largest battles in this generation only when we pray and fast together and unleash the incredible power of the body of Christ on its knees, it's like, okay, that's really true. Okay, page 100. And we partner with that ministry as well in heart. Really love what they're doing with the Watch of the Lord, which is, you know, we don't do exactly what they do, but we have felt that God said, start a Watch of the Lord here, and that's what we've done. Find out about it. Ask God about it. Do you not want to be part of it because it doesn't fit your time schedule? Talk to the Lord. Just talk to the Lord. See what he says. For real. One of the things God is doing to prepare us to participate in the end time revival is this. Okay, here it is, and it's in italics, so it must be important. There is no substitute for prayer and fasting if we really want to bring the victory of Christ into the lives of our families, our churches, and our nation. It's likely that at some point in your life and ministry, you have been stopped cold or greatly hindered by obstructions. That thing, whatever it is, be it a demon, demon power, unforgiveness, or a clinging sin that keeps cropping up again and again, will not budge until you combine prayer with fasting. Fasting boosts the intensity and effectiveness of your prayer at least tenfold and many times hundredfold. The Lord wants us to be released in the power of the Spirit, but that can come only as we continually say yes to the wooing of God's Spirit, even when it makes us feel uncomfortable. It is through this process that God removes doubt and unbelief from our hearts through the cleansing flow of his convicting Spirit and healing presence. There are simply no shortcuts to his presence, and the surest path to holiness, purity, and power is found in the powerhouse combination of prayer and fasting with our worship. That is our act of worship before the Lord as well. So worship people, worship team, worship leaders, worship participants. This is from Jesus. Prayer and fasting, however it's to look for you. But don't put your boundaries and barriers there. And if you need some wisdom as to how to start, if you've never fasted, you want to do a 40-day fast, you probably want to get some counsel on that. Because unless God has spoken, that's probably not going to be necessarily what he would say. Because there's wisdom, but you need God's wisdom, not your own. And this book and Mahesh's are really balanced, you know, just filled with love. I just love the love. That's what I keep reading, because it's so loving. And then finally, one more thing to encourage you. Jesus said that if two of us will harmonize together as touching anything, it shall be done for us. God's calling the church today to corporate prayer and intimate communion with him. He will know us because we have known him in the places of prayer, Matthew 25:23. And he's given us a powerful tool in the Spirit for the work of prayer, prayer languages. As we move ahead in corporate prayer, the Spirit will give us new and powerful tongues that will leave a tremendous spiritual deposit in our lives and change the destiny of the nation. The enemy hates prayer, particularly corporate prayer, because he knows that when two or more will come into agreement with the Holy Spirit, the devil will lose every time. God has intended for us to be involved with a corporate community, harmonizing with a lifestyle of corporate communion and prayer and fasting. I believe that those who don't respond to this call are going to miss something crucial in our generation. Lawrence, can you come up? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Before I ever went into nations to minister, I fasted and prayed and did aggressive spiritual warfare. The key to the nations in my ministry, this is Mahesh, is fasting and prayer. You can go beyond victory to triumph if you'll take up the special weapon that God's placed in your Holy Ghost arsenal. God wants you to go forth in a new and spiritual or special anointing, but it will only come through prayer and fasting. That's the last I want to say about prayer and fasting right now, because I want you to chew on it and think about it, because I really believe, you know, God's speaking loudly, you know, he has been for the last few weeks, louder than maybe we're hearing a little better. Maybe that's it. He's always speaking to us. But I really believe that there's a shift that he wants to bring here It's a good shift. And I think it's a return to some of the real basics. The early church got it. And God is saying, if you really want to walk in the power of the Spirit, this is part of your artillery. And please consider that. And when you consider it, also consider corporate connection. And there'll be more coming about that later because it's, you know, there's a reason for that. And that doesn't mean you cannot or should not or won't, cannot, should not, those words go, but I'm saying fast on your own, that's fine. But we're also participating in some things that we feel will benefit all of us. Because there are many of us who are still learning. But we do want to partner with something bigger than ourselves. We like the global bridegroom fast. We like the watch of the Lord. We didn't start that. But we're watchmen and we like to pray and fast. So what we do here is we say, Lord, what's your DNA for frontline? Because you're sending us to the nations the way you want to. And that's what we try to do. And we're trying to hear. And we'll adjust as he tells us. We'll trust that we will. I asked Lawrence to share something that he shared on Friday night last week at the All Night Watch. And it was really powerful. And it was very anointed. And it was just like, whoa, where did this come from? It was Holy Ghost. So I don't know what you're going to say actually now, but I asked him to come up if the timing was right to share whatever the Lord would put on his heart about that, because I thought it was going to be for last Tuesday, and I was wrong. So I wasn't going to just say, come up here and share, because I thought it might be Tuesday, but I believe this is the timing, because God is telling us to step into things that are pretty significant right now.
We were at the All Night Watch of the Lord, and Pastor Mary Pat asked me to come up and share about whatever the Lord was placing on my heart about finances. And that was at like 3 a.m., so I really don't know what I shared at the All Night Watch of the Lord either. So, the Lord's really been challenging me a lot. I do a lot of work with different finances and stuff, so it's something that I'm very passionate about. But the Lord's always kind of showing me new things, always bringing me into greater revelation. And one of the things I was sharing about at the Watch of the Lord was where he's challenged and changed my perspective on how we look at money and how we take an approach towards money and how we spend our money, where we're becoming more and more open to knowing what the Lord wants and really seeing, casting a vision beyond just our natural finances, where it goes beyond just what we understand from kind of like a natural budget mentality. So I think a good example is what we've seen in Frontline, where he's expanded this vision into, you know, all of this land that we've seen, all of this involvement that we've had in India and Cambodia and all of those things. And that vision is much, much greater than anything that we have in the natural. You know, like Pastor Mary Pat shared, we don't have $200,000 in the treasury. However, you know, that money's needed in Cambodia, but there's also property in Ghana, Mozambique, and right this property right here that the Lord's given us to expand that vision. So the Lord's really been showing me what it is that his desire is for us and for us as a body and how we approach our finances. And the thing that the Lord really wrung in my heart and in my spirit a couple weeks ago when I was sharing is that he wants to change our perspective, where we're not looking at what we have to sow into the ministry, but to look at what God has from heaven and seeing that that is part of our inheritance and going from there, from heaven down to earth. You know, because in all things that the Lord does in scriptures, he's always showing us, he's always telling us to look at it from a perspective of heaven towards earth. So if we're taking that same approach with our finances and with the kingdom mentality of how we approach different things, we're not supposed to look, we're not called to look from what we have. You know, the Lord's not challenging me to look at, well, look at your budget and see where you might be able to tweak a couple things here and there and maybe sow in an extra $100 here and there. But he's really challenging me and challenging, I've talked to several other people who've had that same kind of challenge where the Lord's giving us he's casting a vision, and he's saying, look at the storehouses of heaven. Look what I have in heaven. And as an ambassador of Christ, as a person who lives in heaven, I want you to take the approach that you are one of those people who walks on the streets of gold. You are one of those people who has access to the wealth of heaven, and to take it, a perspective from that, from there, where you're living from heaven, and now you're able to carry out the vision that the Lord's given you, given Frontline, given the body of Christ. So I think one good example that I was sharing about, actually yesterday, I have a good friend. He's involved in another ministry, but their approach is always, well, raise the support first, and then once you raise the support, then you can start out and go do ministry. And there's been a lot of frustration that's come out of that. I've kind of helped him walk through that and ministered to his heart a little bit about that. But the difference, and there's nothing wrong with that approach necessarily if that's what God's calling them to. But truthfully, what I've seen, what I've experienced as a body here and just as a walk with the Lord is that so many times the Lord's going to cast the vision, and he wants you to walk that out, and out of that obedient heart and that desire to see the kingdom advancing comes the provision. So there's all of these things going on, all those pictures and different things that the Lord's doing. And he's really wanting us to look beyond just our own ability, to look beyond just our own approach, to see what it is that the Lord has in heaven, and he wants to use us to partner with him to release that. Because one thing that he was speaking to my heart this morning, Christy was talking about, you know, how there's no distance in the Spirit, how we have connection with the Father. And as she was sharing about that, the Lord started to show me where if you know Christ, if you have a relationship with Christ, you are called to be a destiny maker. Like every single person in this room, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have a calling and anointing on your life to change destinies, to bring destinies to fruition for other people, to reflect Christ in such a way that empowers people to walk that out. And part of that is going beyond just your own natural resources, your own natural ability, and looking into heaven and taking the approach where we're releasing from heaven the very things that he has in order to carry out the vision that he has. Because I know that everything that the Lord's showing, everything that we're seeing, the land in Ghana, which I had a chance to personally see this summer, the land that we're seeing in Mozambique, and in the things that we're seeing in India and Cambodia, and there's all these other countries, Brazil, and I'm sure I'm forgetting like six other properties that we have somewhere. But you know, that's really the vision of the Lord. I mean, that's testified in my spirit. We've seen where the Lord's used it in such a way to advance the kingdom. So if that's the very thing that he's given us, then he wants us to be a part of that, a part of sowing into that. And he wants to use us in whatever form it may look like. He wants to use us in order to basically go into heaven and release that so that that financial provision is there. You know, one thing I shared about it at the Watch of the Lord is that, you know, Cynthia and I had a recent opportunity to sow into somebody else, and it was a challenge. It was something that, you know, in the natural, I didn't really want to do. It didn't make sense in the natural to sow into it. But we were willing to go before the Lord and experience and see what his heart was, to see what it was that his desire was in order to release heaven on earth, to release the heart of the Father into this specific person. And if I had reacted in my natural response, if I had taken what I looked at in the natural to make sense, to, you know, using my common sense, I would not have done that. And I would have been robbing that person of a blessing, and I would have been missing out on a blessing myself. So one thing that I'm seeing that the Lord is doing is always, he's calling us to always be intentional with how we approach our finances. I mean, he always calls us to be intentional with everything else. So why would our finances be any different? And I'm seeing where the Lord, and this isn't something that the Lord put on my heart to say, you know, stop spending money here, or, you know, you shouldn't have a nice car or anything like that. But to be intentional about it, to seek the Lord's face and his desire for it, to see what it is that he has. for me and how he wants me to do it. Because I'm seeing more and more as I'm stepping out in faith, as I'm trusting the Lord and just obediently seeking his face, there's so many blessings that come out of that that go beyond just financial. You know, I'm seeing where lives are being changed by the smallest gesture that seems so simple, but when the anointing of God is upon it, it can change somebody's world. You know, one testimony real quick. One testimony that I shared is I recently got all of our finances together, and I looked at everything based on, you know, what we give and all where all of the money is coming from and different things that, you know, bills, mortgages, and, you know, everything else that goes with that. And I laid it all out on a piece of paper, and it, from month to month, it did not make sense that I was able to cover all of our bills and continue to sow into different things that the Lord's challenging us on. And I know, I've heard from the wealth class and just from talking to other people, there are several people in this room who have had the same experience where it just doesn't make sense. I don't know where it's coming from, but at the end of the month, I've got enough money to cover all the bills, to continue sowing into things, and sometimes there's even more left over. So it's really where the Lord's challenging me to take an approach of, Lawrence, what is it that you have to give? What is it that I as a son of the King have to give? And when you take that approach, it goes beyond just what's in my wallet, what's in my bank account. Because I have the wealth of heaven. I have access to the wealth of heaven in order to release that. And I believe the Lord's calling all of us to be that person who walks and lives a life that has access to the wealth of heaven in order to release it to carry out the vision that he has on this earth. Amen.
Wow. Thank you. Well, here we are. Not a huge group at this time, but God's speaking to us, and I know that everyone in here desires greater intimacy. Seek the face of our Papa. Seek the face of Jesus. Prayer and fasting, the combination, the understanding of that is really, that's the goal. The Lord, if he's calling us to be romanced by him, he's giving us tools for that romancing to be increased. So fasting will help us with that, understanding what it really means to be intimately connected with him. No false intimacy, just a really surging power, flaming Nazarite heart that just is wild and crazy. Fasting will help with that. One thing I didn't mention is that in times of crisis, you know, Jehoshaphat called a fast for his people in the kingdom because of the impending enemy. And if we can see the enemy, where our focus is on Jesus, but we can really see the enemy and the strategy because we have the strategy from heaven, we will want to pray and fast together now, not wait for big, what the news channel calls a crisis. But we can see the crisis is in the world already. And that will help us. So that's what we're doing now. You know, in the book of Ezra, there's a passage that where Ezra is calling a fast and says, this is for us and our children and our possessions. It's like, wow, coming into corporate unity. There's all kinds of passages about this, but I just encourage you to go on a search beyond where you've been and allow the Lord to help you raise the bar of expectancy for your own life in this area. And if you are moved today and you feel that God has put something on your heart and you are willing, able, desirous, whatever you want to say, to sow into whatever you've heard about today, then do it. The Holy Spirit's moving on your heart, then do it. Step into that. You know, if you're afraid, well, I might not have the right motive. When the Lord is calling us to step into new things or deeper things, if your heart's being triggered, your spirit's stronger than anything else. Push out the voice of the accuser, the doubter, the one that says, that's not logical. That doesn't fit my budget or my grid or my this or my that. Push that out and listen to what Holy Spirit's saying. Because we're believing we want to live in the miraculous, supernatural realm for this body, for each one of our families and extended beyond. So, Father, we just thank you for this time that we can gather together in your name and trust you, Lord. And we thank you that you've opened up our ears as we've positioned ourselves for ears to be open to hear what you're saying to us right now in this season, that we can see you with new eyes and hear your heartbeat of love. It's just so incredibly big, way beyond what we've ever experienced before. And we want more of that, Papa. We really do. We want to be stretched. We want to be in a place where you can see that our hearts are matching your hearts so that you can continue to just shower all the blessings, and there's nothing getting in the way of stopping that. Because all you do is want to give. You're a giver. You lavish your love. You lavish everything. And Lord, you so want to see everyone set free to come into a relationship with you first and foremost. And then, Lord, for us to walk in the mandate to see our brothers and sisters and those who don't know you yet to be set free, for the nations to come to know you, for the oppressed to be set free, for us to really have the tools and walk in the arsenal, the weaponry, Lord God, that you've already established in the ways that you've given us. Let us see, Lord. And if we've walked in any type of religious thinking, that we would just say sorry. Lord, we don't want anything. If we've walked in any kind of hindering thought or boundary thought, we'd say sorry, forgive me, and move past it. And step into a new zone, a new clear place, Lord God, that your heavenly wisdom is really all that we will tolerate. Because that's where our role comes. So I thank you, Papa, right now for this. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are on the throne of our hearts and our lives, and that you're taking us by the hand and you're teaching us and training us. Lord, let it be. Let it be, Lord, that what has rained upon us today would fall on soil that would receive. Lord, we just thank you for the open heaven here and for the rain of your presence to come down and water our garden. We thank you that we are a garden closely held by you. And Lord, that as that love grips our heart, that we will capture these messages from you. They're love messages saying, I love you, kids. Keep going. I'm so proud of you. Keep going. Lord, that you would resonate in us a deeper love for your word, that we would go after and study and read and not let a day go by that the Bible isn't open, that we're reading and just being exhorted and encouraged and strengthened, Lord God. Let your word do its wonderful work in our heart, Lord God, that it's intended because it's alive. So we just praise you today, Lord God, and thank you that even in the midst of the darkest of times that you always provide hope for us. Thank you, Lord God, that we declare that we are hopeful people because of you. We are hopeful people, not because of what we see around us. We are hopeful people because of your nature, your character, and the reign of heaven, Lord God, that is so ever-present and close in our hearts. Thank you, Lord God, for the openness from heaven to earth. And we call down from a point of victory. We call down, Lord God, from triumphal victory. The blessings that are raining down, that we would understand. The victory just means that we say no to the devil. But triumphant, rallying victory means that we take the spoils. And that we come out of everything that we've been in much stronger, much better, with more than we ever had before. That's walking in triumph. Oh! Thank you for a triumphant heart that each one of us desires and that you desire to just penetrate today. Triumphant living, Lord God, even beyond winning the battle at the moment. Triumphal victory. Oh, gee. We just love you and praise you, Papa. I mean, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you're turning the tide and we're cooperating with it. The boat is sailing. The ship is in the deep waters, Lord God, and we're on it with you. And we're not looking back. We're looking forward with anticipation, and we're jumping in all together, saying, let's go for it together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for stirring us up in the deepest places. You're so good, and you know what to do. Praise you and thank you and love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow. Oh, encourage you to come on Tuesday night if you're willing and able, and invite your friends. If you feel so led to support what you've been hearing, then write the check out, and indicate what it's for, and drop it in. And we're believing for the miraculous outpouring. Thank you for listening and being encouraged today. May you be strengthened in the deepest places. Next week, immediately after, everyone was sent an email, but immediately after church, we're having a luncheon for those who are involved in any aspect of Kingdom Kids. You may think, well, you know, how many would that be? We have 41 or 42 people that have said, yes, I want to help. It's incredible. When the Lord said, get your infrastructure ready, we're saying, yes, sir, boss. I don't see the people. He says, I didn't tell you that. I said, get your infrastructure. So we are. So we're having a luncheon to impart some things to be able to speak into the lives of those who are teachers and assistants. We thank all of those of you who've said yes to help. And we're trying to invade our little people because we want to see these little ones raised up in ways that we're just understanding, some of us now, right? We want them to get it right now. So thank you for that. So that'll be next week, right after. It won't be long. We can talk and eat at the same time, some of us. So be blessed and be strengthened. It is in party today. Today? Today at 2:30. Amen. Sorry? I think they know, don't they? Yeah. Yeah. Get your own food. Okay. Be blessed. Be strengthened. Listen to the message again. Last 4 weeks. Encourage yourself. We're on the winning side. Well, you know, whatever works for you. God bless you. I have 3 books. I think, did that person bring that book, The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting?